Blessed morning, brothers and sisters. Let me read the passage first. Today's passage is from Acts chapter 5 and verse 27. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please open our hearts and ears and let your words work within each one of us and change us, and so that we can be your witness according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage recounts a trial where the apostles boldly proclaimed Jesus' name, even though they were forbidden by the Jewish council. For this, they were arrested and interrogated. But when in such a great danger, they stood firm and declared that they must obey God rather than human beings. Brothers and sisters, I believe that all of us have probably heard this phrase, "obey God rather than man," before. It's often quoted by churches and individual believers when they face opposition, whether in spreading gospel or standing up for justice. But what does it really mean for us today? This statement was made by the apostles nearly 2,000 years ago, but it raises a crucial question. When human desires or laws conflict with God's will, how should we as Christians today respond? How do we apply this principle in our own lives? Today's message is part of our church sermon series, The Law and the Ten Commandments. We will first explore what this statement meant in its original context, and then look at how it applies to us as believers today. At that time, Jesus had already risen and ascended to heaven. 7 days after, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and filled all of his followers. They began to speak in different languages, proclaiming the mighty works of God. Peter publicly preached that Jesus had risen and declared him as Lord and Christ, appointed by God. Around 3,000 people accepted the gospel and joined the church. After that, the apostles created quite a stir in Jerusalem. They preached to the crowds, they healed the sick, and cast out evil spirits. As the number of believers grew, this caught the attention of the Jewish council. They couldn't ignore this any longer. Not long before, they had pressured Pilate to have Jesus crucified. Now, they were determined to stop the message that Jesus had risen and was sent by God as a Savior. To them, this message implied that the Sanhedrin had not only killed an innocent man, but also stood against God himself. So they arrested the apostles and threw them in jail. Then something miraculous happened. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the door of the prison and set the apostles free. The angel told them to go back to the temple and continue preaching about Jesus. The next morning, when the Sanhedrin gathered to question them, they found that the apostles were already in the temple teaching the crowds. So they had to send for them again. But this time, they didn't use force because they were afraid that the people would stone them. This brings us to today's passage. The high priest rebuked them for continuing to teach in Jesus' name. And the apostles responded boldly. They said, "We must obey God rather than men." Brothers and sisters, imagine this. The apostles standing in front of the Jewish Sanhedrin, a council highly respected by Jewish people, and facing the high priest who held great authority, yet they boldly declared that the council's commands were in direct conflict with God's will. They made it clear they were choosing to obey God's instructions above all else. These were unschooled, ordinary people. Their teacher, Jesus, had recently been executed by the Sanhedrin, using Roman law to do it. And yet, here they were, unafraid of danger, all the threats of arrest. They were firm in their conviction that God's will was more important than any human comment. Why were they so brave? Because they are witness of the reality of the event their words declare. And there are three parts of it. The first part is, the apostles were there when Jesus was arrested and crucified. And now he wasn't dead. He is alive. And the apostles all saw him already. The very God of Israel had raised him from the dead. This affirmation of the resurrection lies at the core of what the apostles are about. God didn't just raise Jesus to vindicate him. He honored and exalted him as Prince and Savior, offering Israel repentance and the forgiveness of sins. The apostles had seen all of this, and they could not stay in silence. Secondly, they are witnessing to the present action of God. The promised Holy Spirit of Jesus truly came down with great power, giving the apostles strength and courage, guiding their testimony. This strength and courage did not come from within themselves, but from the Spirit. And thirdly, they are also witnessing one more wonderful thing, which is, it is the Spirit who is doing this, and this Spirit is available not just to some inner or secret circle, but is given to all who obey Him. That means anyone who follows God is empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. The apostles boldly testified about Jesus in Jerusalem, just as He had commanded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Afterward, they left Jerusalem under persecution and traveled to other regions, Judea, Samaria, and many Gentile cities across the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel. Though the journey was filled with great challenges, the clear guidance of the Holy Spirit and their unwavering obedience to God's command allowed Jesus' instructions to be fulfilled step by step. Brothers and sisters, through the ages, God has called His church and His people to continue the work of the apostles, to be His witnesses. So we, as Christians, are called to fear God and obey His will. But let's be honest. Obeying God today doesn't always mean facing life-threatening situations. In our world, it often means dealing with moral dilemmas, social pressures, and different personal decisions. So, how do we navigate these challenges? How do we live out this call to obey God in a world that constantly pulls us in different directions? Let me share two common challenges we face as modern believers. The first challenge is feeling ashamed or afraid to witness our faith due to misunderstandings, ridicule, or cultural pressure. It's easy to struggle between obeying God and trying to fit in with what society expects. 2 years ago, my family and I, we went to Mount Kinabalu in Sabah. Our tour guide, he was a very kind and cheerful young man. So we shared a lot on our way in the car. And then when we finally arrived at the entrance of the park, he said, "The ticket price for locals and foreigners are quite different. Let me help you to buy local tickets. This can save you quite some money." And my husband and I, we didn't really care about the price, but we saw how sincere he was. And so we didn't want to embarrass him. He was simply trying to help us save some money out of his goodness of his heart long. So if we insisted on paying the full foreigner price, it would have seemed quite rude and ungrateful. So we said, thank you. But our children spoke up. And they said that what we were doing wasn't right. We felt a wave of shame wash over us as we thought, yeah, why are we willing to deceive, even in a small way, just to avoid such an awkward situation? Surely this isn't pleasing to God. And so we set aside our hesitation and explained the situation honestly to him. And by doing this, we not only corrected our mistake, but also witnessed to our faith. So, brothers and sisters, have you ever been in a situation like this, where you were torn between doing what's right and what's easier? I remember sharing of a sister when we were gathered in a cell. Don't try to guess, she's not someone in this church. But it's a true story. And so this sister confessed that she felt embarrassed to tell her colleagues that she was a Christian. She said that they had a poor impression of Christians and would ridicule her, thinking she was weird. Please don't take me wrongly. I'm not here to criticize her. Actually, I was very impressed that she was so honest about her struggles. Her story reminded me of the original situation the apostles faced. The disciples of Jesus were not courageous people. After Jesus was arrested, they were so terrified and they all run away. The only one who dared to follow him in the distance was Peter. But as soon as someone identified him as being with Jesus, he immediately denied it, afraid he too would be arrested. But now, in the passage, we see them defying the council's orders, unafraid of being thrown into prison or even facing death. They were single-minded in their mission to testify about Jesus. They were transformed because they had an encounter with the risen Jesus. The resurrected Lord touched their lives so deeply that they fell to their knees in worship, acknowledging Jesus as Lord and King. And this transformation was also the work of the Holy Spirit, who empowered them to testify bravely and give them clear guidance. And now let me return to the sister in the cell. After she shared her struggles, no one criticized her that night. Instead, everyone encouraged her to read the Bible, participate in church activities, and open her heart to God. Another sister walked alongside her as she learned to serve. And so she began as an usher, and later she joined the choir. Her commitment to God grew stronger and more evident. Initially, she wasn't comfortable having guests at her home. But eventually, she and her husband opened their home for cell gatherings. So we can tell that God didn't judge her for her hesitation to witness, but instead, he allowed her to grow and to just become more and more mature and committed in His grace. Aren't we all like this in some way? Maybe you are still struggling between obeying God and obeying people. Let us acknowledge this struggle in front of God and be honest with God and with ourselves and ask for His help. And so that we can know that this is not the end of our journey. As the Holy Spirit works within us and we grow in God's grace, we too will become more mature and devoted. Are you agree with this? Okay, now let's look at the second challenge. The second challenge is that while we may have the courage to live out our faith, we sometimes lack the wisdom or discernment. And so we think we are doing the right thing, but actually maybe we don't do it in the right way. A common issue is when churches or believers mistake their own opinions for the prompting of the Holy Spirit, forcing their values on others without understanding the complexity of today's diverse cultures. This can sometimes lead to conflict in public spaces or within personal circles, pushing non-believers away and giving them a negative impression of Christianity. We've seen this throughout history, and we must learn from it. After same-sex marriage was legalized in Taiwan, I talked with a pastor couple from Taiwan. They told me that many people without strong religious views actually leaned toward traditional marriage. They supported the traditional marriage, but the church's strong protests and the way some Christians demonized the LGBTQ+ community caused a backlash. People who were neutral began to see Christians as forceful and unreasonable, and this pushed them to support the other side. So, how should we, as Christians today, respond when human opinions clash with God's will? This, I have to admit, this is a very complex issue. And the Bible doesn't provide a simple one-size-fits-all answer. But it does offer us insight. In Acts, we see that the apostles didn't always respond the same way. Sometimes they directly opposed authority, as we see in today's passage. Other times, like the Apostle Paul, when he was preaching the gospel, he didn't resist Roman authority directly. But instead, he used the law to appeal to Caesar, and which led him to Rome. In both cases, they were following the Holy Spirit's leading. Every act of obeying God rather than man in the book of Acts was the result of complete reliance on the Holy Spirit. The key to testifying about Jesus and advancing God's plan is allowing the Spirit to lead and then cooperating with His guidance. As God's church and God's people in today's world, we must set aside our own agendas and plans. Patiently seek God's will. We need to humble ourselves and follow the Spirit's lead. Witnessing our faith with wisdom and grace, especially toward those who don't share our beliefs or values. So, in summary, the Holy Spirit can give us discernment to know when and what. He let us know that when we should stand firm and when to cooperate with authority. And secondly, the Holy Spirit gives us courage to stand for what we should stand for. And last, the Holy Spirit prevents us from misusing God's name and making inappropriate testimonies. So some of you might ask, then how? How can I understand the leading of the Holy Spirit? There is no shortcut or secret formula. Christians must intentionally practice discerning the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We do this through prayer, through reading the Bible, through actively involving in church. It is through these practices that we gradually become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's guidance. And more importantly, we must keep our hearts open to the Spirit, ready to listen when God speaks. That way, when the opportunities that God has prepared come, we will be ready to faithfully witness for the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, You already sent Your Spirit to us, and we know Your general will. So please let us be willing and be able to follow the Spirit's lead. And we can be good witness of Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.